Chapter 27. If there be no breach, I ought to have the merit of it. 'Tis a plague I ticklish piece of work, and a man hazards losing both sides. It is a pity the world does not know my virtue. I thought the clergy in convocation in Ireland would have given me thanks for being their solicitor, but I hear of no such thing. Pray talk occasionally on that subject, and let me know what you hear. Do you know the greatness of my spirit, that I value their thanks not a rush, but at my return, shall freely let all people know that it was my Lord Treasurer's action, wherein the Duke of Ormond had no more share than a cat? And so they may go whistle, and I'll go sleep. 16. I was this day in the city, and dined at Pontac's 11, with Stratford, and two other merchants. Pontac told us, although his wine was so good, he sold it cheaper than others. He took but 7 shillings a flask. Are not these pretty rates? The books he sent for from Hamburg are come, but not yet got out of the custom house. My library will be at least double when I come back. I shall go to Windsor again on Saturday, to meet our society, who are to sup at Mr. Secretary's. But I believe I shall return on Monday, and then I will answer your letter, that lies here safe underneath. I see it. Lie still. I will answer you, when the ducks have eaten up the dirt. 17. I dined today at Lord Treasurer's with Mrs. Masham, and she is extremely like one Mrs. Mallowly, that was once my landlady in Trim. She was used with mighty kindness and respect, like a favorite. It signifies nothing going to this Lord Treasurer about business, although it be his own. He was in haste, and desires I will come again, and dine with him tomorrow. His famous lying porter is fallen sick, and they think he will die. I wish I had all my half-crowns again. I believe I have told you he is an old Scotch fanatic, and the damnedest liar in his office alive. 12. I have a mind to recommend Patrick to succeed him. I have trained him up pretty well. I reckon for certain you are now in town. The weather now begins to alter to rain. Windsor, 18. I dined today with Lord Treasurer, and he would make me go with him to Windsor, although I was engaged to the secretary, to whom I made my excuses. We had in the coach besides, his son and son-in-law, Lord Harley and Lord Dublin, who are two of our society, and 7 of us met by appointment, and supped this night with the secretary. It was past 9, before we got here, but a fine moonshiny night. I shall go back, I believe, on Monday. 'Tis very late. 19. The Queen did not stir out today, she is in a little fit of the gout. I dined at Mr. Masham's. We had none, but our society members, 6 in all, and I supped with Lord Treasurer. The Queen has ordered £20,000, to go on with the building at Blenheim, which has been starved till now, since the change of the ministry. 13. I suppose it is to reward his last action of getting into the French lines. 14. Lord Treasurer kept me till past 12. London, 20. It rained terribly every step of our journey today. I returned with the secretary after a dinner of cold meat, and went to Mrs. Van's, where I sat the evening. I grow very idle, because I have a great deal of business. Tell me how you pass your time at Wexford, and are not you glad at heart you have got home safe to your lodgings at St. Mary's, pray? And so your friends come to visit you, and Mrs. Walls is much better of her eye, and the Dean is just as he used to be. And what does Wall say of London? 'Tis a reasoning coxcomb. And Goody Stoit, and Hannah, what do you call her? No, her name Aunt Hannah, Catherine I mean, they were so glad to see the ladies again. And Mrs. Manley wanted a companion at Omber. 21. I writ today to the Archbishop of Dublin, and enclosed a long politic paper by itself. You know the bishops are all angry. Smoke the wax candle drop at the bottom of this paper. I have let the world know the first fruits were got by Lord Treasurer before the Duke of Ormond was governor. I told Lord Treasurer all this, and he is very angry, but I pacified him again, by telling him they were fools, and knew nothing of what passed here, but thought all was well enough, if they complimented the Duke of Ormond. Lord Treasurer gave me t'other day a letter of thanks he received from the bishops of Ireland, signed by 17, and says he will write the man answer. The Dean of Carlisle sat with me today till 3, and I went to dine with Lord Treasurer, who dined abroad, so did the secretary, and I was left in the suds. 'Twas almost 4, and I got to Sir Matthew Dudley, who had half dined. Thornhill, who killed Sir Cholmley during 15, was murdered by 2 men, on Turnham Green, last Monday night. As they stabbed him, they bid him remember Sir Cholmley during. They had quarreled at Hampton Court, and followed and stabbed him on horseback. We have only a Grub Street paper of it, but I believe it is true. I went myself through Turnham Green the same night, which was yesterday. 22. We have had terrible rains these 2 or 3 days. I intended to dine at Lord Treasurer's, but went to see Lady Abercorn, who has come to town, and my lord, and I dined with them, and visited Lord Treasurer this evening. His porter is mending. I sat with my lord about 3 hours, and am come home early to be busy. Passing by White's Chocolate House, 16, my brother Masham called me, and told me his wife was brought to bed of a boy, and both very well. Our society, you must know, are all brothers. Dr. Garth told us that Mr. Henley, 17, is dead of an apoplexy. His brother-in-law, Earl Powlett, is gone down to the Grange, to take care of his funeral. The Earl of Danby, 18, the Duke of Leeds' eldest grandson, a very hopeful young man of about 20, is dead at Utrecht of the smallpox. I long to know whether you begin to have any good effect by your waters. Methinks this letter goes on slowly. 'Twill be a fortnight next Saturday since it was begun, and one side not filled. Oh fie for shame, presto. Faith, I'm so tosticated to and from Windsor, that I know not what to say. But, faith, I'll go to Windsor again on Saturday, if they ask me, not else. So lose your money again, now you are come home. Do, sirrah. Take your magnifying glass, Madam Dingley. You shan't read this, Sir Estella. Don't read it for your life, for fear of your dearest eyes. There's enough for this side. These ministers hinder me. Pretty, dear, little, naughty, saucy MD. Silly, impudent, loggerhead presto. 23. Dilly and I dined today with Lord Abercorn, and had a fine fat haunch of venison that smelt rarely on one side. And after dinner Dilly won half a crown of me at backgammon at his lodgings, to his great content. It is a scurvy empty town this melancholy season of the year, but I think our weather begins to mend. The roads are as deep as in winter. The grapes are sad things, but the peaches are pretty good, and there are some figs. I sometimes venture to eat one, but always repent it. You say nothing of the box sent half a year ago. I wish you would pay me for Mrs. Wall's tea. Your mother is in the country, I suppose. Pray send me the account of M.D., Madam Dingley, as it stands since November 19, that is to say, for this year, excluding the £20 lent Stella for Wexford, for I cannot look in your letters. I think I ordered that Hawkshaw's interest should be paid to you. When you think proper, I will let Parvisel know you have paid that £20, or part of it, and so go play with the Dean, and I will answer your letter tomorrow. Good night, sirs, and love presto, and be good girls. 24. I dined today with Lord Treasurer, who chid me for not dining with him yesterday, for it seems I did not understand his invitation, and their club of the ministry dined together, and expected me. Lord Radnor, 20, and I were walking the mall this evening, and Mr. Secretary met us, and took a turn or two, and then stole away, and we both believed it was to pick up some wench, and tomorrow he will be at the cabinet with the Queen. So goes the world. Prior has been out of town these 2 months, nobody knows where, and is lately returned. People confidently affirm he has been in France, and I half believe it. It is said he was sent by the ministry, and for some overtures towards a peace. The secretary pretends he knows nothing of it. I believe your parliament will be dissolved. I have been talking about the quarrel between your lords and commons with Lord Treasurer, and did, at the request of some people, desire that the Queen's answer to the commons address might express a dislike of some principles, etc., semicolon, but was answered dubiously. And so now to your letter, fair ladies. I know drinking is bad. I mean writing is bad in drinking the waters, and was angry to see so much in Stella's hand. But why Dingley drinks them, I cannot imagine, but truly she'll drink waters as well as Stella. Why not? I hope you now find the benefit of them, since you are returned. Pray let me know particularly. I am glad you are forced upon exercise, which, I believe, is as good as the waters for the heart of them. 'Tis now past the middle of August, so by your reckoning you are in Dublin. It would vex me to the dogs that letters should miscarry between Dublin and Wexford, after escaping the salt seas. I will write no more to that nasty town in haste again, I warrant you. I have been 4 Sundays together at Windsor, of which a fortnight together, but I believe I shall not go to Dashmorrow, for I will not, unless the secretary asks me. I know all your news about the mayor. It makes no noise here at all, but the quarrel of your parliament does. It is so very extraordinary, and the language of the commons so very pretty. The Examiner has been down this month, and was very silly the 5 or 6 last papers. But there is a pamphlet come out, in answer to a letter to the 7 lords who examined Greg. 21, the answer, 22, is by the real author of the Examiner, as I believe, for it is very well written. We had Trapp's poem on the Duke of Ormond, 23, printed here, and the printer sold just 11 of them. 'Tis a dull piece, not half so good as Stella's, and she is very modest to compare herself with such a pedester. I am heartily sorry for poor Mrs. Parnell's, 24, death. She seemed to be an excellent, good-natured young woman, and I believe the poor lad is much afflicted. They appeared to live perfectly well together. Dilly is not tired at all with England, but intends to continue here a good while. He is mighty easy to be at distance from his 2 sisters-in-law. He finds some sort of scrub acquaintance, goes now and then in disguise to a play, smokes his pipe, reads now and then a little trash, and what else the Lord knows. I see him now and then. For he calls here, and the town being thin, I am less pestered with company than usual. I have got rid of many of my solicitors, by doing nothing for them. I have not above 8 or 9 left, and I'll be as kind to them. Did I tell you of a knight who desired me to speak to Lord Treasurer, to give him £2,000, or £500 a year, until he could get something better? I honestly delivered my message to the treasurer, adding, the knight was a puppy, whom I would not give a groat, to save from the gallows. Cole Reading's father-in-law has been 2 or 3 times at me, to recommend his lights to the ministry, assuring me that a word of mine would, etc. Did not that dog use to speak ill of me, and profess to hate me? He knows not where I lodge, for I told him I lived in the country, and I have ordered Patrick to deny me constantly to him. Did the Bishop of London, 25, die in Wexford? Poor gentleman. Did he drink the waters? Were you at his burial? Was it a great funeral, so far from his friends? But he was very old. We shall all follow. And yet it was a pity, if God pleased. He was a good man, not very learned. I believe he died but poor. Did he leave any charity legacies? Who held up his pall? Was there a great sight of clergy? Do they design a tomb for him? Are you sure it was the Bishop of London? Because there is an elderly gentleman here that we give the same title to. Or did you fancy all this in your water, as others do strange things in their wine? They say these waters trouble the head, and make people imagine what never came to pass. Do you make no more of killing a bishop? Are these your Whiggish tricks? Yes, yes, I see you are in a fret. Oh, faith, says you, saucy presto, I'll break your head. What? Can one report what one hears without being made a jest and a laughing stock? Are these your English tricks with a brain? And Sacheverell will be the next bishop? He would be glad of an addition of £200 a year to what he has, and that is more than they will give him, for aught I see. He hates the new ministry mortally, and they hate him, and pretend to despise him too. They will not allow him to have been the occasion of the late change. At least some of them will not. But my Lord Keeper owned it to me the other day. No, Mr. Addison does not go to Ireland this year. He pretended he would, but he is gone to Bath with Pastor O'Phillips, for his eyes. So now I have run over your letter, and I think this shall go tomorrow, which will be just a fortnight from the last, and bring things to the old form again, after your rambles to Wexford, and mine to Windsor. Are there not many literal faults in my letters? I never read them over, and I fancy there are. What do you do then? Do you guess my meaning, or are you acquainted with my manner of mistaking? I lost my handkerchief in the mall tonight with Lord Radnor, but I made him walk with me to find it, and find it I did not. Tisdall, 26, that lodges with me, and I have had no conversation, nor do we pull off our hats in the streets. There is a cousin of his, I suppose, a young parson, that lodges in the house too, a handsome, genteel fellow. Dick Tye, 27, and his wife lodged over against us, and he has been seen, out of our upper windows, beating her two or three times. They are both gone to Ireland, but not together, and he solemnly vows never to live with her. Neighbors do not stick to say that as he has a tongue. In short, I am told she is the most urging, provoking devil that ever was born, and he a hot, whiffling, 28, puppy, very apt to resent. I'll keep this bottom till 2-morrow. I'm sleepy. 25. I was with the secretary this morning, who was in a mighty hurry, and went to Windsor in a chariot with Lord Keeper, so I was not invited, and am forced to stay at home, but not at all against my will, for I could have gone, and would not. I dined in the city with one of my printers, for whom I got the Gazette, and am come home early, and have nothing to say to you more, but finish this letter, and not send it by the bellman. Days grow short, and the weather grows bad, and the town is splenetic, and things are so oddly contrived, that I cannot be absent, otherwise I would go for a few days to Oxford, as I promised. They say it is certain that Prior has been in France. 29. Nobody doubts it. I had not time to ask the secretary, he was in such haste. Well, I will take my leave of dearest MD for a while, for I must begin my next letter tonight. Consider that, young women, and pray be merry, and good girls, and love presto. There is now but one business the ministry want me for, and when that is done, I will take my leave of them. I never got a penny from them, nor expect it. In my opinion, some things stand very ticklish. I dare say nothing at this distance. Farewell, dear sirs, dearest lives. There is peace and quiet with MD, and nowhere else. They have not leisure here to think of small things, which may ruin them, and I have been forward enough. Farewell again, dearest rogues. I am never happy but when I write or think of MD. I have enough of courts and ministries, and wish I were at Lerwicker, and if I could with honor come away this moment, I would. Burnage, 30, came to see me today. He is just landed from Portugal, and come to raise recruits. He looks very well, and seems pleased with his station and manner of life. He never saw London nor England before. He is ravished with Kent, which was his first prospect when he landed. Farewell again, etc., etc. Letter 29. London, August 25, 1711. I have got a pretty small gilt sheet of paper to write to MD. I have this moment sent my 28th by Patrick, who tells me he has put it in the post office. 'Tis directed to your lodgings. If it wants more particular direction, you must set me right. It is now a solar month, and 2 days since the date of your last, N. 118, and I reckon you are now quiet at home, and thinking to begin your 19th, which will be full of your quarrel between the two houses, all which I know already. Where shall I dine tomorrow? Can you tell? Mrs. Van Omri boards now, and cannot invite one, and there I used to dine when I was at a loss. And all my friends are gone out of town, and your town is now at the fullest, with your parliament and convocation. But let me alone, sirs, for Presto is going to be very busy, not Presto, but the other I, 26. People have so left the town, that I am at a loss for a dinner. It is a long time since I have been at London upon a Sunday, and the ministers are all at Windsor. It cost me 18 pence in coach hire before I could find a place to dine in. I went to Frankland's, one, and he was abroad, and the drab his wife looked out at window and bowed to me without inviting me up. So I dined with Mr. Coote, two, my Lord Mountrath's brother. My Lord is with you in Ireland. This morning at 5 my Lord Jersey, 3, died of the gout in his stomach, or apoplexy, or both. He was abroad yesterday, and his death was sudden. He was chamberlain to King William, and a great favorite, turned out by the Queen as a Tory, and stood now fair to be Privy Seal, and by his death will, I suppose, make that matter easier, which has been a very stubborn business at court, as I have been informed. I never remember so many people of quality to have died in so short a time. 27. I went today into the city to thank Stratford for my books, and dine with him, and settle my affairs of my money in the bank, and receive a bill for Mrs. Wesley for some things I am to buy for her, and the D.A. one of all these could I do. The merchants were all out of town, and I was forced to go to a little hedge place for my dinner. May my enemies live here in summer, and yet I am so unlucky that I cannot possibly be out of the way at this juncture. People leave the town so late in summer, and return so late in winter, that they have almost inverted the seasons. It is autumn this good, while in St. James Park, the limes have been losing their leaves, and those remaining on the trees are all parched. I hate this season, where everything grows worse and worse. The only good thing of it is the fruit, and that I dare not eat. Had you any fruit at Wexford? A few cherries, and durst not eat them. I do not hear we have yet got a new Privy Seal. The Whigs whisper that our new ministry differ among themselves, and they begin to talk out Mr. Secretary. They have some reasons for their whispers, although I thought it was a greater secret. I do not much like the posture of things. I always apprehended that any falling out would ruin them, and so I have told them several times. The Whigs are mighty full of hopes at present, and whatever is the matter, all kind of stocks fall. I have not yet talked with the secretary about Prior's journey. I should be apt to think it may foretell a peace, and that is all we have to preserve us. The secretary is not come from Windsor, but I expect him tomorrow. Burn all politics. 28. We begin to have fine weather, and I walked today to Chelsea, and dined with the Dean of Carlisle, who is laid up with the gout. It is now fixed that he is to be Dean of Christ Church in Oxford. I was advising him to use his interest to prevent any misunderstanding between our ministers, but he is too wise to meddle, though he fears the thing and the consequences as much as I. He will get into his own warm, quiet deanery, and leave them to themselves, and he is in the right. When I came home tonight, I found a letter from Mr. Lewis, who is now at Windsor, and in it, forsooth, another which looked like Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.